Talk with your host, Rob Greenlee.
You're listening to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com for the week of June 12, 2005. My name is Rob Greenlee. We appreciate you tuning into the show again. We have a great show lined up and got some great topics to talk about the future of the internet and some other cool internet stuff out there. We're also a proud member of the techpodcast.com network. So go check them out. There's a great lineup. It's about 40 tech podcasts out there. So go check it out, techpodcast.com.
And I'm here once again every week. We both bring you the show, but we are joined today by, one of my favorite people of all time. T. David is here. He's in the house. T. David, you remember him. He's been on quite a few times lately. He runs the blog site makeyougohmm.com. tdscripts.com. He's a radio show host himself. He has a weekly show. Mm-hmm. And definitely, tell us more about, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Blue skies.
Wonderful. Thank you for coming. You're looking awful dapper. You got your tie on today and a white shirt.
Looney Tunes.
Perfect. Oh, a Looney Tunes tie.
Perfect for the...
is that Tasmanian?
Tasmanian Devil right there. Bugs Bunny.
Now, cool. What's the character of the mouse?
Daffy Duck. Is there the mouse dude? This one here?
I don't know.
Big sombrero.
What was the dude that was hidden? The guy with the dark... the mask.
Oh, the alien.
The alien dude.
I can't remember him, but he was cool. He'd go around shooting the laser and stuff like that at people and stuff. I remember.
Yeah, he's
cool. I figured that was
it's technology related.
Sure. Set them at ease right away.
What's happening in your neck of the woods? What have you been blogging about?
Briefly?
We're going to talk about some of the things that he's blogging about on the show today, so make sure.
She puts pressure.
Oh, there's a lot of pressure.
Well, let's quickly run down the other topics we're going to cover, and then we'll find out what's up with you.
Is Apple going to the dark side with Intel processors? And we're also going to talk about Apple's podcasting support in iTunes 4.9. It's finally revealed.
Finally, Microsoft has done the tab browsing in their new MSN toolbar.
How exciting is this? Streaming TV is coming fast to mobile devices.
Analog TV to be dead in 2008?
Seattle's most unwired, and WiMAX from the Space Needle. And we're also going to talk about some listener emails from Cam and Christopher. Well, let's jump into the news, Dan.
I'm sure you have something to say about Apple here, David.
Well, yeah, I was waiting with bated breath. It's too bad that Apple did not stream that live. The keynote speech of Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I don't think they ever do. I think they did a few years ago, but I think that's all been kind of like on demand now.
Yeah, it was beautifully done.
Yeah.
In QuickTime after the fact, and mm-hmm. there was a few websites that you could go to find out what was happening. You had to keep refreshing your browser to see the news in somewhat real time, people commenting on it and that. But
yes, only QuickTime, huh? They didn't have a Windows Media version.
No Windows Media version. But it looked, I mean, the camera work, we had talked about this off air, the camera work of that was just fantastic. I mean, they had a big screen with the... And it's true. The rumors are true. Apple, they're going to use Intel. Yeah,
Intel chips in their computers. This is a big direction change for Apple, and it could really open up the door to having a lot more PCs that have dual operating systems, which it seems like.
Yeah, that was the first thing that I thought about when I heard the news, even the rumors.
Yeah.
I had said, ooh, dual boot, nice. My dream vision is the ultimate machine with triple boot. It's got Linux, Windows, and Mac OS X all on one.
You embrace them all, don't you?
It's the ultimate in geek fantasy is what it is. Yeah. But will most people want that?
I
want
to talk about conflicts.
I
have conflicts with my little XP, you know, with one audio device and another, you know.
But there's just how it is. There's certain things that work good in certain, you know, Mac OS X has certain things that are just really cool. I mean, I have this IRC client that I love to use called Colloquy. It's free in the Mac, and it's beautiful. It's the most beautifully done IRC client I've ever seen. And it's only in the Mac.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to go to my boring old client that I have in Windows because I can't use the... So you get used to different applications and different things and different... Yeah.
How great would it be? I would love to use iMovie, but you know, do I want to spend $1,000 and buy an iMac? You know?
I think it's... I mean, there's various opinions, good, bad.
I think it's good overall, and I think it's mainly good because I think this puts Apple in a better position to compete against Windows. I think in the long run, if you look out a few years, I think Apple would like to have a little bit more market share than they have today. What do you think?
Well, I think Apple has the high-end market share, which...
Yeah, but a larger percentage of the market and selling more products and more operating systems.
And certainly, well, what I found interesting is Adobe said they wouldn't be who they were without Apple. And Adobe, of course, makes Photoshop, Illustrator. They just bought Macromedia, so now they have the Flash. Mm-hmm. So they're well-positioned if they've got a good partnership with Adobe going into this to really make a run at, you know, but they make beautiful machines. We talked about this with the iPod things, and they just make better quality machines than... I guess maybe the Alienware PCs, the gaming high-end gaming machines might be comparable, but you have to really, you know, your normal desktop Windows machines aren't constructed very good that you go into the real tail store and buy. But you go buy a Mac, it's pretty well. It's a pretty good machine.
Putty colored and black.
Yeah.
Well, plus I've also heard that it's going to be possible for you to load XP into an Apple machine, but it won't be the other way around. You won't be able to load the Apple OS or the Tiger into a Windows-based machine. So they've basically locked it out from basically selling the operating system as something separate. And I think Apple's going to continue to bundle their hardware with their software and not give us that flexibility that Microsoft has today.
Well, we also talked about some of the graphics that Mr. Jobs was showing. For instance, the Windows to Apple comparison, and he wasn't using like number. I mean, you can't really compare, you know, the 150 million to the 5 million or whatever the number is. It's a much more dramatic percentage-wise when you have 5 million or 10 million, whatever the numbers are. Your swings in the percentages are going to be much more dramatic on a graph than when you're like apples for apples type compare. He didn't mention that part. He left that out of the presentation.
Yeah.
Guys are, you know, clapping. And also, did you notice the part where the developers started laughing when he talked about how that he wasn't there before when the transition was smooth on the prior 10 years and then people started laughing because it wasn't smooth.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
And then people started laughing and he just kind of skipped past that.
There was a time when people thought Apple was going to go out of business. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, well, as long as they got iPods, they're not going out.
I mean, it's phenomenal that their whole business is really keyed now off of a little portable device, you know.
Well, and those stores aren't bad. You know, why doesn't Microsoft have beautiful stores like that? I mean, those stores, the
Because Apple store, they're just a software provider,
but
right?
You can't even – here's the thing.
Yeah.
When I didn't know this, but you can't go up to Redmond and buy software.
No, you can't.
You can't. Why can you not go buy software in Redmond?
You can if you're an employee.
Yeah, what is there something wrong here with that? You cannot go to the place that makes it and buy it. I mean, but
you go down the street and buy it from CompUS.
I mean, why don't they have a Microsoft Superstore in downtown Seattle? But I think that the core reason is that they're basically an OEM provider and they rely on their distribution partners to get the software out there.
But at least on their campus.
You would think so.
A campus store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They could have. I mean, you would think, okay, gee, I need a new copy of Microsoft Access. Oh, can't get that unless you've been a beta tester, unless you're an employee. You can't. I mean,
that's
true. It's like they're going to call the guards in to get you out of there because you want to get a copy of their software. I mean, it's odd. It doesn't. I understand not wanting to compete with the companies that you're distributing to, but I would think it's a given if you have campuses and that you should be able to go there. And can you? I would just. Does Apple have a Cupertino Apple Store?
I'm not sure if they do or not. I would think that they have one in that area. Probably. I mean, I think they don't. They have like like 100 stores or something like that.
Did you see the London Apple? The London Apple Store, it had the big cathedral.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful stores I've ever seen.
Wow.
And you had to imagine you go in it was probably immaculate because I talked to one of the Apple people when I was up in Seattle and it's like, we've got to stainless steel these. They have a regimen to keep those stores looking really
sharp.
That's
part of their brand image is that clean and very uncluttered type design.
Yeah.
And that's what they do in their stores.
And the fact of the matter is, as far as Redmond and having retail stores there, I think anybody that lives in Redmond actually already is an employee. So no one's going to be really going to those stores. They've got their store.
Well, and they can actually buy it at a huge discount too. I think they can buy like the Windows
10%.
Actually, the Windows XP operating system you can buy for $25.
But let's say you wake up
10% of the actual cost.
Not 10% discount, but
90% off.
Yeah.
If you wake up tomorrow and you decide you want a copy of Access, you can't go in and get Access from most stores.
Yeah.
You have to order it online.
Yes, I see what you're saying.
If you're a developer or whatever, you need a copy. You got to go. You got to wait, which is. Do they have software delivery through the website immediately?
Through Microsoft's website?
Yes.
No, I don't think you can buy anything off the Microsoft website.
your impulse to buy is gone.
Well, they've shifted all that responsibility off to their distributors, and that's basically what they're doing. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that that's the only way that they're distributing, which probably needs to change.
If they started their own group of little stores, like I think I really think that Apple Store is something that they have that's really
it is.
It's not taking away so much from the big retail stores as much. I think it's helping brand them and get them. And I was reading where a guy who owned but he had a Apple or iPod accessories. He put it right next to the Apple Store.
Yeah.
And the thing was just taken off. And now they want to do like franchises off of his store because people want to go get
the culture thing too. People like to walk in and feel like, oh, I'm Apple culture, you know.
They want to, the tablet PC is a much more attractive device if you can feel it, touch it, write on it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Microsoft did in fact have a store, how many different brands and items that they'd have to carry in there to keep everybody happy? Talk about a superstore. It'd be bigger than a Fry's probably to be able to handle, Dell and HP and Compaq.
Oh, right.
And
I see what
all of the different computer brands. I mean, Apple's just got one line of hardware.
That's true.
It's a little easier, I think, for them.
Well, now you can tell Robert Scoble about your new idea. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Super Microsoft store.
Let's talk about Microsoft some more.
It's just a big ad for Microsoft, I guess, today.
Yeah. You mentioned they have put up tabs now at MSN. Is that right?
It's actually part of their toolbar that they've just put out. They've basically taken kind of a shortcut approach to supporting tabs by making it a part of a downloadable toolbar, which is part of the MSN toolbar. It's been around in a while, but they just upgraded and added the functionality of tabs, which people have been crying for Microsoft. And Microsoft's been saying that they were only going to support it in the next version, i.e. 7. But it sounds like they felt the heat. And they made this addition to the toolbar. I think it's good.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Somebody, whoever the marketing department, whoever said, "Hey, we're going to tie this thing into the toolbar to where the toolbar has to be enabled." Because I don't particularly care for the MSN toolbar, but that tab thing is very cool.
Uh-huh.
And adding that functionality and tying the two together now forces them to have the logo. Because I showed you earlier where you can't get rid of the thing; it's stuck. Which I would imagine when IE7 comes out, they will have.
Well, it's going to be integrated in with it. Probably.
Yeah, it's somehow or another, but it's keeping their logo like in the frame of your mind right there.
Yeah,
and then they tied in the spaces, but that's pretty smart the way they did that.
I don't see any reason why they couldn't incorporate RSS feeds into that toolbar as well.
Now, something interesting I noticed on their tabs. Unlike Firefox, they don't dynamically resize. So as you get more and more and more, you end up with these right and left arrows. So I usually have 10 to 12 somewhere in that neighborhood tabs open in Firefox. Well, you do that in the MSN toolbar, you have to do the right and left arrow because they're all the same size.
They
don't dynamically resize. Maybe in the IE7 that comes out this summer, they'll have changed it so it if your title is only a couple words, then make the tab. I'm showing small.
Yeah,
sure. Showing sizes here in the room again. You can't see me on the radio, but I'm showing different sizes. That's one thing I noticed about it. But hey, it's great to have tabs in any format, in any way, in IE, because that's a tremendously useful function.
Yeah.
And as I was telling you also off there, the desk bar function where you can program in your own shortcuts to applications.
And what Microsoft has done with this toolbar is they've enabled you to get all of these desktop functions in one download.
Yep.
If you don't want the little search box down by your start button there, You can opt out of getting that if you want, but you can get it all installed all at once. You can get it all installed and running, and it's really cool. I would really highly suggest that you give it a try.
I did have the Netcraft toolbar. I mean, if depending on how much of a toolbar whore that your listeners might be.
Stack them up.
I have a lot of toolbars installed, and Netcraft toolbar is one of my favorites because it shows you the hosting company. It also has anti-phishing, P-H-I-S-H.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. It shows you the severity level of a site, how risky it is to be at a whether or not it's being spoofed or not. It's a very handy. It's the Netcraft toolbar, and Netcraft does a bunch of statistics and about servers and things on the net. But it's so. The problem is you have too many. You're running out of space to have, and it's like now like Yahoo toolbar. I like the Yahoo toolbar because it has that My Web thing. Very cool feature. You can save all your desktop your favorites. You can save them right on the on their servers, Yahoo servers, and it keeps a snapshot of the page. So if they change it, like a blogger or something that maybe has a propensity to like decide that what they really said the first time they want to change, and you have a copy of exactly what they said when you were at their site, and you can refer to that. Also, catch if it's like a research paper or something, and you change it, you can't. It's gone from the web, and if they don't have a catch at Google or some other Wayback Machine, you can't. You don't know what it was. You don't know what the context of that bookmark was. Wow. Well, with the Yahoo service, so I can't get rid of Yahoo. I can't get rid of Netcraft.
Google. Well, you can't get rid of Google.
I have my own toolbar. What? I'm not going to kill my own toolbar that I have.
Oh, yeah. So, your own toolbar has like radio.
Yeah, it has the radio. I can listen to the Tech Podcast Network that you guys are on.
Yeah.
So, you know, suddenly I'm like, you know, a good percentage of my browsers.
It's like the top 25% of your browsers gone with toolbars.
Pretty
right?
soon they're going to come out with another tool. I mean, Ash Jeeves, who else is left? I'm not going to have any space for browsing. I mean,
so you don't have Google's toolbar in there?
No, I got rid of Google's toolbar.
You did?
When they did the auto link, I said no more Google toolbar.
Really?
I only use Google's toolbar.
Auto link is where you can change the contents. You can remove it. It'll take words and can change and put advertising words in automatically into the content of the page that you're on.
Wow.
And I had a huge problem with that. I don't like software that can be used to look, if it's offered there for free, they're doing it based upon an advertising model or something. The people have to make some money, and if you take away or change their words or add links to keywords that they never intended to be. I mean, if I didn't want something to be linked to a sponsor and your program chose to do it, I don't know. I got mixed emotions. Individual users, I don't mind what they do. I think it's their personal freedom. They can do whatever they want and change my content and do whatever they want. But I think corporations start getting involved where they can manipulate things, and I have a bit more problem with that type of so as soon as I did that, I said, you know, I'm going to show my, you know, vote with my feet, and I'm gone, and so I guess, you know, the tab thing is like getting back to MSN to bring us full circle. If I could remove their toolbar, which is basically useless to me except for the spaces. I do have a spaces blog, so I could post to my spaces blog, but I can have a bookmarklet anyways.
Yeah, on Yahoo.
So I've got a row, which is not shown on the tablet here, but I have a row of the bookmarklets. That's one full row. I've got the MSN thing, the tab, then the MSN tab thing here. But Rob showed me earlier, we can move it up. We can
kind of, yeah, exactly. So you can take one entire row out of there and throw it up.
I can do that. Yeah. I can't. Yahoo's won't let you do that, though. Yeah. It's too long. It's got too many things, and you can't take the buttons off.
These guys
all want to dominate a row of my browser. What's wrong with them?
Well, you know, I'm looking at his tablet PC. He's holding it up. So can you all see it, please? I don't feel too bad for you because you've got a good 2 inches at the bottom that you don't even have as a browser window. You just have the little green here,
no, hold on. Microsoft. Let me explain to you why it's that way. Now, Data, you asked a great question. Let me explain to you why it's that way.
He likes the pretty green grass.
Okay, this is why I do it this way. Because when I want to use the snipping tool, right, I have to have the snipping tools. I could go down a little bit further.
Oh, I see.
See, so I can snip out certain sections of it right on there, make notes, whatever.
This is so cool. I wish y'all could see it.
So it's, if I go the full distance, I don't have my snipping tool menu because it's covered. It doesn't come over the top. So I had I could come down a little bit further. The idea is, oops, what did I do there? I must have clicked the power off button.
He just turned off his
computer. A little bit too easy to click the power off button there. Now I got to.
Well,
I mean, now is all the radio listeners have been listening for the last 5 minutes.
They have no idea what you're doing. Well, this tablet's really cool because it's almost like your web experience or your computer turns into a piece of paper. I mean, it's that thin. It's probably what, less than an inch thick?
Yeah, it's three pounds, 3.5 pounds.
And it's slightly larger or about the same size as a piece of paper.
And he just took a stylus pointer and just drew a circle on a web page, and basically you're able to move it.
You cut it out. You can cut out little parts, add notes to it, annotate. You can send it to mail. You can send it to your notes, so you can make notes on it. And the neat thing is, I click one button. I didn't show you this. It sends it right to my notepad, and it gives me the URL where it came from.
Wow.
So I can cut out from different pages, and it keeps all that organized. Yeah. So for research purposes, that's OneNote, by the way, Microsoft OneNote program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As we continue the Microsoft. But you can't buy it at the Microsoft campus, by the way. You can download that one.
What brand of tablet PC do you have, and approximately how much are those things costing these days?
Well, that's it's a Motion Computing M1400, and they sell two versions. One is called the VA.
You really don't have to hold it up like Vanna White, you know that?
Yeah.
It looks very nice. Yes.
To get the full experience, you really, you know, it's got a, I think, and it comes with biometric, so that for passwords, I don't have to enter those in.
So it weighs about 2.5 pounds, probably?
It's about three. My thing was not good there. Let's see if I can get, there we go.
Accepted. His thing was not good.
Yeah. My fingerprint.
His finger wasn't very valid.
My finger wouldn't do.
Wouldn't
good.
Validate, huh?
It's three and a half, just under 3.5 pounds. It's got dual microphone. What do they call that?
Speakers?
No, microphones. Multiple microphones.
Like so for stereo?
Is it like stereo recording capability?
Yeah,
or
you can record. Yeah. It's for like conference. There's like a conference mode, so you can take notes and.
Oh, okay. So if you're taking notes with it in landscape mode versus portrait mode, it'll still have a microphone at the far end or something like that? Is that what you're thinking?
Well, it could adjust as a quality based. You could put conference mode, and I don't know the exact technology behind what it is, but I can't want to say parabolic, but it's not a parabolic mic. Because
parabolic is pretty high tech.
Where you zoom in.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's some sort of, I mean, it's built to be taken into a meeting where the sound is away from you.
And it captures it.
And the neat thing, this is what's really cool about this, is I could sit here and record our show as we're doing it, right? And make notes at certain parts of the show, just like you were writing down that piece of paper. And at the moment that I was talking about it and writing the note, it syncs the audio to that point. So then you could say, okay, T. David's talking about one note, and you wrote a note down with one note. It would know that moment in the audio is where your note is kept.
Wow.
That was the single most feature that sold me on a tablet PC.
Oh, if you're going to a ton of meetings, this is invaluable.
I'm in a ton of meetings. Yeah. And it was the feature and I know that I'm starting to sound like an advertisement for a tablet PC. But now that I've said positive things, now let me tell you negative things, which is the cost, because that was what you asked.
You've been a proponent of the tablet PC for a long time, so this is only consistent. I mean, you've been skeptical of it because of the costs and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, this was $2,500, which is pretty expensive. I bought it in December of 2004, and it was actually, I believe, $1,999 or $2,100, but then I had to get more RAM because it only came with like 256 RAM.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I had to get a gig of RAM, so I had to upgrade to the RAM. And I got the big hard drive. It only came with 40 gig, and I got the 60 was the highest it had because I knew that 40 wasn't going to cut it, you know, programs these days. Yeah. So after doing that, tax and everything else, it was about $2,500, which to me, it's too much. A laptop computer or even a tablet PC, as beautiful as it is, should not be $2,500. $1,500, great deal.
Yeah.
People are jumping on this. It's about $1,000 too much for – I mean, if I was here at $1,500, I think people would buy that at that price and would spend that money. You can get a heck of a laptop for $25.
I think I have seen some tablet PCs that have recently come out that are in the, I think, the $1,200 to $1,800 range. Mm. So
yeah, but then you start – but look at the features on a lot of them. I mean, this has been a common theme that I've been saying is they come out with low hard drive size, low RAM.
Oh, of course,
and you have to – it's like going in and saying, okay, I want one of those 59-cent burgers from Burger King. Oh, wait a minute. You got to add this for lettuce and tomato, and it's only a quarter-pound burger. You know, you got to – by the time you add everything you want
– together, you're back up to $2,000.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like the Mac Mini when they did the Mac Mini. Oh, get the Mac Mini. It's $499. And then, but once you
got to add the mouse and the keyboard and the.
You put everything together and you've spent the same as an Emacs. I don't like when people play with the numbers for marketing things and give me what I want. I mean, there's this another guy that online who bought a tablet PC. And I'll get off the tablet PC rant. He bought this thing. He spent $3,000 on it. Then he spent another $2,000 upgrading it.
Whoa.
$5,000 for this computer, right? And $5,000 for a computer is insane, in my opinion.
That
these
is
days.
Insane.
I mean, highly, you know, because in a year or two, it's going to be defunct, basically, right?
You have to replace it within probably at least 3 years.
I figured 18 to 24 months on this is about what I figured. If I can get 18 to 24 months out of this, I'll be happy, but there's already better ones coming out.
Oh, sure.
It's 6 months old, and there's already things that you could spend that money on. So, you know. But anyway, my point, getting back to it, he spent that much money, right? If you spent $5,000 and you brought something home, do you want to spend another day taking software off it? And that's what he had to do because they preloaded it with all this crap software he didn't want on there, like AOL was preloaded and all these things he didn't want.
Well, it's already got a small hard drive in it.
Yeah.
You don't want to have it loaded up with a bunch of software that you're not going to use.
10 gigs worth of stuff he doesn't want on there. Yeah. He's got to spend. He spent $5,000, and he's got to spend another day ripping all the stuff off of there. So I mean, I think that's why they haven't sold in huge numbers. They're beautiful. I mean, people who use them and have a purpose for them, they're great machines, but they're too expensive. And there's some weird things that got
to
work out.
I mean, frankly, I'd love to have one, and it'd also be cool if those things had the ability to make a data phone type connection to like a Sprint network or a Singular network or something like that, where you can take it anywhere and use it. I don't know. Does that support those kind of data connections?
Like an ad hoc network? Is that what you're speaking about? Or
well, no. Like a like your cell phone data connection that you have, like from Sprint or from
I see. Well, yeah.
Singular.
You could do the EVDO. You know, like with the Verizon, if it was available in this area, which I think is the next. Is that the next thing?
But does the tablet PC have that capability? Can you slide a card in there to make it support some of those?
I don't know about that. I don't know. It's PC, what is it, PCMCA? That's the card right there. So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if you can – I don't know. I haven't
You probably could. You probably could then if it has that card.
Sure. I do know the battery life is good. I mean, I've been getting 4. The most I've got is 5.5 hours. That's awesome for a battery life.
Yeah.
But that was turning the light really down and really not no Wi-Fi. You know, it normally is around 4 hours without, but that's still good. 4 hours is good battery life. So.
Well, let's move on here. Let's talk a bit about the future of streaming TV channels online. I think we'd all like to get access to like TV programs,
and streaming, because then you don't deal with the whole who owns the content, downloaded or something. Right.
I'd like to be able to get access to, and there are some companies that are starting to do this, is offering the TV networks like ABC or CBS or whatever, have it off of a live stream you can pick up off of any PC or any mobile device.
U.S. networks are available streaming at this point?
Some of them are. Actually, most of them are cable channels right now, but you have to go through – actually, there's a company called smartvideo.com that's actually making available – a live video stream to a mobile device like a cell phone or a pocket PC of like CNBC and
MSNBC,
some of those big networks that are on cable. You can actually go, if you go to smartvideo.com/windowsmedia/smartdemopda.html, you can actually see a little demo.
Have you tried it?
Yeah.
So does this mean you have to have a PDA that's obviously has wireless? To be in a hotspot and.
Well, I mean, that certainly helps. I mean, a lot of wireless type phones and stuff have Wi-Fi capability that you can use in your home.
Okay.
So if you have a Wi-Fi access in your home or at a coffee shop or You can even do it probably, you know, in a cradle or something like that if you have a pocket PC and be able to watch TV anywhere in your house on a little mobile phone or on a tablet.
I mean, yeah, you can do it on a tablet. I got to have at least this resolution. I got to have this size for watching. This is the smallest I would want to watch TV in.
You're holding something up, which is everybody's at a disadvantage. Illegal sized.
I'm being polite. There's a lady in the audience, so I'm trying to. You know, I mean, it's just. I can't see it any smaller than this. I cannot.
You don't want to watch TV on a cell phone screen.
Mobi TV, I believe. Mobi TV was one that I tried. I can't watch video that small. But then there was guys that were doing like ASCII drawings in the you know.
Yeah.
There's going to be a crowd that's going to appeal to, but not me. I'm not that small. I can't see it.
That's why we.
The PSP is probably. I take that back. The PSP, when we had the PSP in here, we were looking at. That was all right.
Yeah, that was all right.
I mean, that's a good size screen.
Well, you pull it up close to your face. You're okay.
I mean,
16x9 kind of.
It was
size.
It was very good quality.
It's basically designed for a DVD type
movie.
Every time
I come here, I'm describing things nobody could see. It is the Invisible Man coming in again. You know, he's bringing in. Stuff nobody could talk. This is not, we need video for this or something.
That's what we're talking about. No.
Video. Then they could see it.
But right now you can actually go to an online website. It's at mobile.tv, the number 4 and all.com, and you can get to a whole list of television stations that are broadcasting from all over the world.
Mobile.tv4all.com.
Yeah, exactly. And it basically has high bit rate streams. I mean, some of these streams are like 500, 600, 700K streams, which isn't going to give you HD quality or anything like that. But you can actually watch live television programs coming out of probably, I've looked through the list, probably 25 or 30 different countries from around the world. Some of them obviously are in a different language, so you're not going to be able to understand it unless you understand Chinese or
it's just a demo. They're not
Chinese.
No. These are actually live TV channels that are broadcasting live.
We watch
streams.
Chinese TV.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's
okay.
Chinese. Alrighty. But there's. Yeah. I don't
One
have
of those
the
Asian languages.
Well, I don't have a list.
Be a sensor. Probably be a sensor. Something. You're watching. You're from the U.S. Can't watch this. What do you do?
Just go to this site, and especially if you have a pocket PC, it works really well on a pocket PC. It's formatted to be viewed in a smartphone or a pocket PC type device, and it will stream in these television channels. Actually, I think the only U.S. channel that's on there is there's a TV channel that's broadcasting live out of New York, and it's like a local network channel or something like that, just for a community within New York. It's got commercials and all that.
So
cool
is there
going
to be a fee for this, or what is it?
SmartVideo.com actually charges a monthly subscription fee to actually get access to CNBC and the MSNBC. I think it's like $4 or $5 a month or something like that.
I wonder if it plays in an emulator, you know, the pocket PC emulator you can have on the Windows machine. So you could emulate a pocket PC right on in your Windows.
I don't know.
Stream it right
you could
to your
try.
Windows in a little window or something.
You could try. Now keep in mind that the streams that are coming off of Smart Video are the actual physical size of the streams are pretty small. So the quality isn't like what you were saying earlier. It's not like it's going to fill up your whole screen of your tablet PC. So
yeah, it's going to be...
It's going to be small.
What about you,
small...
Dana? Do you want to watch really small TV?
I'm a proponent for watching anything digitally video. So, I would say, sure, why not? Entertainment
is
fine.
In some small doesn't...
Yeah, the size...
We're all wearing glasses here, so I assume...
I mean, it's all about quality, though.
I take off my glasses. I can't read what even on your screen that's big across there. So I don't know. I wonder,
you have a good point.
The technology people are getting older too. The generation of people are getting older, and as people get older, the eyesight fails. You know,
I could not use my eyes yesterday. I just nothing was in focus, and I know it's because of 25 hours of staring at a computer screen. So you're right. I'm with you. I think I'll just go watch my big
screen
TV.
I went to a webmaster event recently, and everybody was the younger people at the event. When I say younger, I'm talking like 19, 20, 21 crowd. It wants to use the super high res, 2100 by, I can't see that, How do you
see that? Little tiny text
on
there.
You're clicking on that. Oh yeah, that's my Internet Explorer icon, man. I'm like, dude, I can see that thing.
I know, everybody has this, like, 7-point like, text.
Yeah, it's like, what? I need a magnifying glass to see that. What is the point? I mean, I think there needs to be some step. Maybe it's like Star Wars where they had the broadcasts into the... Yeah.
Hologram thing?
Yeah, hologram. There you go. Thank you. That's where I think is going to be where it's a 3D space and it's big out front. And a small device that beams it out or broadcasts it is more realistic for the future than my cell phone or, I don't know. Do you do the whole ring back tones? And
well, I mean, what does a cell phone do well? It does audio. So, I mean, that's what most people
are
going to.
It does well in gonna... charging you a lot for giving you a little is what it does well.
Yeah, that's true. Too. Hey, it's going to be the year 2008 when we see analog television get turned off. They decided. Yeah, the U.S. House of Representatives met last month and discussed the question that's actually been troubling a lot of governments around the world, too, is when to shut off analog television, which is kind of a continuation of the same discussion
here.
Now,
most people who are buying TVs for the last several years are going to get, I mean, the kind of TV that can see the digital versus the HD.
Well, that's what they're expecting people to do is to upgrade their TV, and I'm sure that the TV manufacturers are funding the House committee here fairly excessively because they can get people to upgrade their televisions. You know, there's more business there to be had. Not to be skeptical about these things, but
I can't go buy the 30-inch no name brand Korea TV or whatever.
Well, you probably can as long as it
bucks and
as long as it handles digital television, you probably will be able to.
Everybody have a yard sale now and sell all your old TVs.
Well, when 2008 comes around, all those analog televisions that most people have, I mean, I'll say most people have to this day, they're not going to be able to use anymore.
Well, isn't there going to be a set-top converter or something?
I would think so.
There's going to be some middleware that where they're not going to just obsolete everybody's TVs and because nobody's going to go
middleware.
Off.
But they are.
There's going to be something that has to.
Well, yeah. I mean, there'll be a transition thing, but that's essentially what they're doing though. They're obsoleting all of the existing technologies.
I'll say
out
one
there.
Thing though. If you have HD, do you guys have HD TV?
No.
I mean, if you look at some of the analog channels in an HD TV, it's grainy and
it looks like crap.
Once you've seen it, it's like...
You can't go back.
Yeah, it's
It's like getting high-speed cable access.
Well,
you can't go back to dial-up.
I was going to give a more crude example of what it's like, but I won't go there. No,
go ahead.
Dana's getting sleepy here, so I'm going to wake her up. I mean, it's like... Well, now I've just let down the audience, but it's... Once you've seen it, it's like a football event or being on a baseball. If you go to a live baseball event, there's that smell of the grass. There's being at there. There is a realism to crisp HD TV that cannot be experienced. Once you see it.
Sorry, T. David, you can't smell grass through a television. I'm sorry, but
it's a metaphor.
Like a day like today. Wouldn't today be the perfect day to go to the baseball game and get a hot dog and sit down close during the crack of the bat? And there's something about HD TV and the high quality of that. Also with video games. Like Xbox video game, play it on that 1080 resolution or the 480, whatever, the high resolution. You see that, and then you go, you can't go back to analog. So those once they do, and you can get in, there are sets under $500 you can get into HD TV. There are some options where you don't have to spend $5,000 to get a TV.
That's true.
So it's the...
Well, and it's going to put pressure on the manufacturers to actually come out with lower cost digital
televisions. $300 is the television price. $299 that's the television price that I think has been set out there for most people.
Yeah,
they don't want to spend $3,000. I mean, the tech geeks and people do, but most people aren't going to go just impulse buy a $3,000 TV.
Well, it's the same thing with the tablet PC. The price point on that needs to get less than $1,000.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I said 50. If this unit was 1500 as the high end unit, would be good. But I think 500 to 1000. Yeah. If they can get some units in there that are decent.
Oh, we're back on the tablet PC.
So TV, analog.
Whatever. Yeah, that's true. Hey, do you know Seattle is considered the most unwired city in the country, which is surprising. But I'm not tremendously surprised. I know that there's been a real strong movement up in the Seattle area for a long time to provide free wireless access and hotspots all over
thing.
The area.
Is this a good
thing?
Yeah,
when I first read it, I thought unwired. I thought it was a bash on Seattle myself.
But because we're a wireless city, right?
Yeah.
A Wi-Fi.
Well, it's wired and unwired.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the number one Wi-Fi enabled city in the country now.
So it's got the most wireless hotspots. So you pretty much go anywhere downtown Seattle and probably be able to pick up some.
You got Starbucks.
Well, that's true. It's not free hotspots.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of paid. Yeah. They have the most wire hotspots.
Well,
the airport, you can get on at the airport.
Yeah.
Like any city.
The Marriott has its own. A lot of the hotels have Wi-Fi.
Well, and also a lot of free access points are out there, too, that they're being provided by Seattle Wireless, which is a wireless, kind of a grassroots wireless organization up in Seattle that's been around and growing for a long time. We've actually had them on our show before. I think this is a compliment to Seattle that they've actually taken this kind of a leadership role. One other interesting little piece to this is that here recently, the Space Needle has been equipped with wireless WiMAX. And it's basically a beacon. This is what it's been said up in Seattle, that the Space Needle is now a beacon for Seattle's wireless future.
Oh, I like that.
I wonder if they're cooking any burgers in that $8 hamburger stand up above the they pass the signal right through their burgers and cook a few burgers on the top of the – have you been up there to eat? I mean, no, French fries are $5
in
that
thing. Expensive
the top
there.
Of the needle. Not the restaurant.
Yeah, you can buy
the very, very top.
Yeah, you can
– the observation area?
Yeah, it's like they gouge you hard up there.
And you have to pay – how much to get in the elevator?
Well, I think it's like $8 to ride up the elevator now.
You know, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they might as well cook your food with the Wi-Fi.
The last time I was up there was the Kurt Cobain Memorial, you know, back when that was like 10 years, 11 years. Anyway.
I know.
Went up there then.
You never go to the tourist spots when you live in a city.
You know, it's interesting that speaking of the Wi-Fi, the most unwired city, you know where New York City falls? Because you think, oh, that's a vibrant city, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of activity. They're like number 21 on the list of being wireless.
Well, that's actually probably higher than I thought they'd be.
Really?
I think in reality.
So much activity going on there.
How did Verizon pick where they were going to offer Wi-Fi and not do EVDO in Seattle? That's what I don't understand. They go down to Houston? What? Houston's the mega wireless capital down there? So they're going to go down there, but they're not going to come to Seattle? I mean,
there must be some aspect of this. It's too expensive or something like that.
There's some infrastructure cost.
There's some problem up here. That's the only explanation I can come up with.
Microsoft's up here. Google's got an office up here. We wouldn't want to be up where those people might be, there would be a segment of customers from those technology companies.
Now, this next little subject I'd like to raise here doesn't really have anything to do with the internet. It doesn't really have anything to do with the web, but it's just cool. Actually, T. David came across this inventor, I guess, that created a scuba outfit, basically, that enables a scuba diver to breathe like a fish.
Wow.
Why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, apparently in the ocean, underneath the water, there's like 1.5%, they've measured this for the tidal waves and stuff, of oxygen. And this gentleman, what's his name? Did we write the notes down?
No,
we didn't put his name down. That wasn't nice. He did all this hard work. Mr. Fish. No, it starts with a B, I believe. But anyway, he...
Mr. B.
Yeah, he studied this, the way a fish breathes, that takes in the ocean currents and the wind underneath and is able to breathe this. And he developed this system which runs off a battery and converts it, and he's patented it. And eventually, they're going to take – they sit 200 meters, which it's 3 feet to a meter, so you're 600 feet of diving without air compressed air on your back. And he's got some sort of a model of it, and he's working on a prototype to but he's got a patent, of course, so patents like first thing anybody seems to do these days. But that would be cool. Wouldn't it be cool to be able to go, like, instead of going snorkeling, you'll put this little thing on and this little battery pack, and you could go you know, swimming all around like a fish for hours at a time, and not. And I also, they mentioned something about the bends or something, and I don't know if that has something with how the breathing compressed air, and if you come up too quick, you can get the bends in your brain, you know, the bubbles. And with this system, because you're breathing in somehow in there, it might have something to do with that as well, which is is where people wouldn't come up too fast, and the pressure or the I don't know how that works exactly.
Well, and it might make it easier for more people to be able to scuba dive and actually explore under the ocean. It's such a huge area that most people haven't experienced.
Well, you remember there was a movie too where they drowned the people. Basically, you would drink in the seawater, and Abyss, I think. You drowned on the ocean water, and then you could
start breathing again.
Yeah, and then you could breathe again inside the ocean water.
Yeah.
And
well, I don't think that's exactly what they're doing here. But.
No, that's not what they're doing. No, he's not drowning anybody. But I mean, it got me thinking that maybe that's possible if you did have that running through you, that you're no longer having that pressure. Because the tremendous amount of pressure of
the
water,
just a
deeper down you go.
I mean, it's just a natural extension for people that live in Seattle, because we already have webbed feet up here. So it would just be a natural extension for us to just jump in the water and have this little breathing thing. You know, you just put a little mask down and breathe the water.
Well, you have a website here. Is this where you can find out more, or just somebody that had the news story?
Where was it?
Ezracast.com
is it, and then you just have to, you kind of got to go. He didn't have the full URL in there, but because it was kind of long, but
Ezracast.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
It is. I thought it was neat. I thought, wow, that would be, wouldn't
see,
it be cool?
Those are like the internet, you know, these kinds of sci-tech stories that just can really change significantly something that we've always done. You know, I just love that.
Think of how many people, though, have come. This is what excites me about the technology and science tech, and why I don't get wrapped up too much in the political stuff, because it seems like it's the same story being hashed over and over and over again. But in the science tech, you got brilliant people out there say, it can't be done, it can't be done. And you get people saying, no, wait a minute, it can be done.
Yeah.
And they figure out a way to do it.
Exactly.
It's exciting, and it makes you feel like... Yeah, yeah, anything, it does.
I mean, maybe someday we'll be able to travel the speed of light, too. You never know.
Time travel, other side of the black hole. Yeah, other life out there, it's who knows.
Yeah.
All these things are quite possible.
Well, we should probably talk about a few listener emails that we've gotten here recently. And we got an email from Cam Salisbury, and she says, Rob, the mobile version of your site looks great and works fine on my Pocket PC Mobile. And she appreciates having that there. And she's actually gotten a little tired of looking at things always on her desktop. So it's actually a nice change, she says, to be able to view our website on a tiny screen. So, Cam, we appreciate the comment. We've had that mobile version of our website up there for, I don't know, it's probably been 6 or 8 months now at least. And it's been a little difficult getting people to find it. And there aren't too many areas online that have really marketed it and developed the mobile web per se. So, but it's something I wanted to put out there. And actually, if you go to webtalkguys.com, if you want to get to this page, it'll actually default to the mobile version of our website automatically if you happen to have a Pocket PC. So go check it out. We also got an email from Christopher Coy.
Dear Rob, I found out about your show through the Windows Mobile site. I think there should be more shows like your show. I find the mix of funny stuff, tech stuff, and mostly off-topic stuff refreshing.
Oh, he should love this show.
A few questions for you. What do you think of the Apple Switch to x86? What is your opinion of Windows Mobile? What is Mobile?
No, it's
5.0. And I screwed up Rob before he was writing these notes, so it's not your fault, Christopher. It's for speaking them. What is your opinion of Windows Mobile 5.0? And finally, what was your favorite scene in Revenge of the Sith?
Yes.
I like the part where Mace and Windu and gang got killed. P.S. I'm 14. Program for fun and have too much time on my hands.
Well, he's actually talking about the Windows Media Mobile website that's actually available through the Pocket PC or the smartphone. So you can actually get to our on-demand stream through that mobile portal that's actually part of Microsoft. And there's actually only a couple of radio shows that are linked to off of that. It's us and Ken Radio that are available off that. And it's a resource only through the Windows Mobile portal. So it's kind of cool. There's streaming videos on there. Actually, if you've got a Wi-Fi connection with your Pocket PC phone, you can get to trailers and all sorts of stuff, full-fledged movie trailers into your Pocket PC, your smartphone, right through this portal.
So you tatted up or anything to get enlisted there? Or how
I need to pull some strings, you know.
Do you have to have a heart transplant or something to get listed?
No, you just have to know people in places.
You just have to know, okay.
Yeah.
Good thing to know, Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher, for the email. And if you want to send us an email, we'd be happy to talk about it on the show. And send it to rob@webtalkradio.com. We appreciate it. Well, thanks, T. David, for coming in.
You didn't give him your favorite scene in The Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, I thought you were going to do that.
No. Do I have a favorite? I think my favorite scene was where he was rising. Vader was rising. My most unfavorite scene was where he goes, no! You know, Vader's not going to. Vader's not going to do the no thing.
The no to the sky.
Yeah, he's not. That yeah, wasn't no, the, well, it yeah, was completely out of character. True. But my true. Favorite thing was where they fitted the mask and he had that.
One thing that I was kind of questioning about that whole mask thing is there was like smoke coming off of out of him as you know as he was rising from that. And what was the deal with that? Was he like still burning from his burning experience on the in the lava? You know?
Maybe it cooked his, because it was connected to his flesh somehow, and it cooked his, cooked him and had to sear it to him.
I don't know, but he was like smoking the whole problem. I thought maybe he was,
It was a cigarette.
Yeah, pot he was having something. A smoke break before he was fitted. He's only 14, though, we should say. That when Vader was being fixed, that was my favorite part. But, did Dana see it?
She will not see it, no. No, I haven't. I don't have a favorite scene.
No.
You don't want to see it.
I could talk.
We wore you out with Star Wars last time.
Yeah,
you came
we did.
With your hat. Your Darth Vader mask. It was great.
But thank you for having me again. Appreciate it.
Tell us what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
What you've been doing this week.
Well, this week
and what you're blogging about.
Oh, well, we just talked about a lot of those things.
Makeyougohome.com.
You can come over there and usually get my, something launches. Today it was with tab browsing for the Internet Explorer. Something launches, usually the day it launches. I'm going to have some sort of feedback on it, probably with a very personalized account, which you may not get from the mass media types, which are going to be much more generic about commentary. I'm going to say, well, this sucks, or this is great, or where I'm going to give you a personal opinion, obviously very personal.
All should know that T. David is actually so highly regarded. Google News will pick up his comments when you do post to another blog.
And if you leave your comment, if anybody listening happens to have their own blog or whatever, and leave their comments, if it's related to whatever it's there, uh-huh. You put your URL on the thing and, you'll maybe get a little, the spider love or something will come around, but make it related. Don't spam me or anything like that because that's lame. But make it available and come on over and, love to have your feedback and opinion. And if you got something really good, submit it and maybe we'll put it on the site or something give you a byline on there and you can be.
And what are you going to talk about on TD Scripts and your radio program?
Oh, the radio thing. What do we have coming this week? We've got the Sisters of what is it? Sisters of they're from Korea. They're a band. They're we're doing a battle of bands.
Wow, this is not about programming.
Indie Battle of the Bands 2005. I wanted to give a spot to indie bands because the RIA and cracking down on that. So this band from I think it's Hong Kong actually. They sent me one of their CDs, so I've got it. I'm going to give it away to a listener. So listener will get a CD and it's got some stickers in there and
cool.
As for topics, I mean, literally we put the show together as the week goes on, so we'll be talking about Apple, Intel, and some of the things are here. But there could be more as we get closer to. Well, it'd be tomorrow, right?
And this won't air until the weekend, so. Now it's on demand, right? So people, even though you've done it on Friday.
Oh, no. The show's live. We rarely put up the archive.
Shoot. And, well, then everybody listening going to miss
that
show. They're
going to miss it. They're going to miss the Sisters of Sharon. That's what it is. Sisters of Sharon.
Listen next week, though, at TD Scripts.
There'll be another band next week.
Okay.
Script School.
I'm sorry. Script School.
Yeah, TD Scripts is my programming site.
Yeah. Script School.
Yep. Well, cool. Well, thanks. Thanks again for...
Thank you.
Being in here.
It's wonderful doing.
I'm sure you'll be back soon.
Always a pleasure talking with you.
I have a whole list of things that you've just given me information that I got to go do now and download more toolbars. Ooh.
You like toolbars too.
Yeah. Netcraft toolbars.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
That's all the time we have this week.
Yes. Thank you for joining us and listening. We hope that you'll come back and listen next week on the show at webtalkradio.com. Be sure to go visit techpodcast.com, and you can check up on quite a few other tech podcasts out there, and we'll see you around the net.
This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcasts group. Find out more about this show and others at techpodcasts.com. Tech Podcasts. If it's tech, it's here.